Now it's time for our weekly chat with Labor MP Andrew Little.
This week with Health Minister Andrew Little, I asked him about why he declined a request by National's mental health spokesperson Matt Ducey to have a youth mental health summit and making flu vaccines free for more people. But I began by asking Andrew Little about how people from the homeless community would fare under the home isolation system, even they don't have a fixed address. Here's the minister. I want to start by talking more about the home isolation plan, following up our chat from last week. Now, I want to talk about how would this work for the homeless community once they are positive under the Care in the Community program. So, because they have no fixed address, how can health providers or Healthline monitor their progress?
Well, for people who are homeless, they're the ones who most likely going to find themselves offered a place in whatever alternative accommodation we can get. What we know is, particularly with Omicron, with the huge numbers that we're expecting, whereas under Delta we could offer alternative accommodation to a lot of people, either homeless or in highly overcrowded housing, it's going to be much harder now. And so what limited alternative accommodation we do have, we will keep for the exceptional cases. And that will include those who are homeless and where there is a pretty extensive overcrowding in a house, and it is just much safer for everyone to put a person who was infected into an alternative place to recover. So there will be enough accommodation for those in those circumstances, but for a lot of other people, then it is going to be recovering in the home is going to be the way through this.
Well, you told News Hub the other day that there are 125 camper vans reserved for this purpose. That's probably not enough for all of them, right?
Yeah, that is one aspect of 125 camper vans. There's also, every DHB has made arrangements for alternative accommodation, whether they're motel units or whatever. So there is alternative accommodation around, and in the bigger places you've got small allocations of spaces in MIQ facilities. So if the News Hub report implied that there was only 125 camper vans, that's wrong. That is one option, particularly for, as we find with some people, they do want to be able to recover in a safe place, but that is close to their home or family. And where the place where they are is suitable, then a camper van is a suitable place for that to happen. And so that is an option that is available.
So the exceptional circumstances, you said earlier, being homeless is one of them. What about large families? Do you have a number that automatically qualifies them under the exceptional circumstances branch?
No, there's no actual number, and it would be really for the person making the assessment about what is best for this particular person for their recovery, because there'll be some people who, look, there might be quite a large household, but it is possible with everybody kind of doing the right thing and wearing masks at the right time and all that sort of stuff for the person who's infected to recover at home. But there'll be some people who, with a large household and a large number of people in the household, that is simply not safe and is never going to be safe, in which case we'd strive to find a place for them. So it'll really be a question of judgment of those who are making those assessments.
Okay, moving to my second topic of the day. Now, a couple of weeks ago, the National Party's mental health spokesperson, Matt Ducey, wrote a letter to you proposing having a youth mental health summit, but I think you have declined to do so. Why is that?
Well, first of all, he sent the letter. I received it at 2 o'clock one afternoon, and literally half an hour later, I was getting calls from journalists about how am I going to reply to the letter. So, with all due respect to Matt Ducey and the National Party, the letter was a stunt. I have to say, on issues like mental health, I don't respect people who think it's okay to just pull political stunts on that issue. We have provided a lot of additional support, particularly for community organisations dealing with young people and their mental health. We provided additional funding to a number of organisations in Auckland last year because we know that with the Delta outbreak and schools closed and things like that, a lot of young people were finding it tough. We supported organisations doing online sort of therapies and online providing online tools for young people and their parents, and we provided more support for that. As it turns out, we are hosting, and New Zealand is hosting, an international summit on youth mental health later this year, which I will be speaking at, so kind of we are entering a dialogue about that. But the Ministry is in touch with organisations dealing with mental health, particularly with youth mental health, and we're providing additional support where that is asked for and where that is needed, and I'm satisfied with what we're doing in that respect.
Surely there's a leeway here for a bipartisan approach. I mean, the government has done some bipartisan approach to housing recently. Surely you can do that with mental health?
Let's be clear though, mental health was one of those issues that was just completely and utterly neglected by the previous national government. When we were in office, we knew there was a crisis. The previous government had just completely ignored it and denied there was a crisis. We commissioned a very quick review that pinpointed, immediate gaps that had to be filled, and we're in the process of doing that. We've added over 850 people to the front line of mental health in this country just in the last 2.5 years with our Access and Choice program. We've put people into GP clinics and community clinics right around the country to do those talk therapies, to deal with the people with the mild to moderate mental health issues. And where they've got anxieties or crises in their lives that can be worked through with appropriate counselling and other support, that's what we've been in the process of putting together. We haven't completed the rollout of that yet, by the way, and there's more to come. In addition to that, we've started the rebuild of a number of mental health facilities because the facilities were neglected and run down and just no longer fit for purpose. And we're getting to work on dealing with some of the more acute and critical ends of the mental health crisis that we inherited. So, look, we have taken it seriously, but I don't appreciate, getting a letter with a suggestion of some sort of event and then half an hour later getting calls from journalists asking why I haven't replied. That tells me that the National Party is not acting in good faith on this issue and they just want to play political games. I'm not interested in doing that on this issue.
Probably a little bit too early, but would you envision to have seen mental health get something from the budget later in May?
It is a bit too early for that, yes. I think the Minister of Finance indicated at the end of last year this will be very much a health budget. There's a lot we need to do as part of the reforms and as we can get health back onto a sound footing. So there's much we have to do in that respect, but unfortunately we're all just going to have to wait for the budget to find out what we're doing.
Okay. Moving to my final topic for now. So you have recently announced there will be more people who are eligible for a free flu vaccine. Can you tell us more about that?
Yeah, well, we know that, the advice I've had last year and now this year is that because borders have largely been closed for the last 2 years, we haven't had the kind of flu outbreaks that we would typically have during winter. Now the borders are due to start opening from the end of this month and next month and in April, and more people coming in. We expect, as happened in the Northern Hemisphere this winter, just gone, there is a significant increase in people getting flus and things like that. So we have to be prepared for that. We've offered a free flu vaccination program for a number of years now. We'll continue to do that, but we want to expand it to make sure that those most vulnerable to flus and respiratory illnesses, particularly the elderly, but pregnant women, people with other health conditions, people who have just recently recovered from or currently suffering from cancer, that we make sure that they get the protection they need to get them through the flu season. So normally about 1.5 million people get a free flu vaccination. We think it'll be up to about 1.7, 1.8 million this year because we'll offer over 250,000 additional doses to people just to make sure we've got them covered.
But are you concerned about having vaccine campaign fatigue, especially for the past 2 years? There has been a lot of messaging out there around COVID vaccines and now there's the flu vaccine.
Yeah, look, I get that. And actually, it doesn't stop there because we know that the other area that we're behind in is the child immunisations. There's been a big fall off in that in the last sort of few years, and we need to lift our game in that respect as well. Look, we do have to manage this very carefully, but we'll be saying to people, look, it is possible, as well as your COVID vaccination, is to get your flu vaccination as well. The two won't be in contradiction to each other, and we'll message that very carefully. In the end, you know, New Zealanders have done really well and keeping themselves safe from COVID. We've got, you know, 95% people double dosed, and you know, more than 2 million people now having had their booster shot. New Zealanders are conscientious about vaccination and keeping themselves safe, and I think they will want to when it comes to flu as well.
Okay, well, Minister, that's all I have for today, and I just have done the math recently. In fact, last night, this is our chat number 58 over
58.
Yeah, so around I think a year and a half or something. But I would like to thank so much for your time over the past year and a half for talking to you.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that, Justin. I've always enjoyed our conversations. I think you're a great interviewer. I think you've got a great future ahead of you as a journalist. So look, good luck and best wishes for that, and hopefully we'll catch up with you in Wellington sometime.
That was Labour MP Andrew Little. The Wire.